Hey, everybody, this is Maggie. You know, Barack Obama wants to redistribute the wealth. Well, I disagree. I think you need to earn what you get in life. So join me, because I'm going to be redistributing the truth, one word at a time, on the Unsolicited Opinion, here on KHNC 1360.
You debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic, and we should stand up and say we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie Rodden, and welcome to the Unsolicited Opinion. How you doing today? Listen, I've got another great guest lined up, and I'm going to do something a little differently today. I'm actually going to bring him on in a couple of minutes as opposed to after the first break, because I know I was told he's not going to be able to be with me the entire hour, so I want to kind of get going into the thick of it. But I want to give out the call-in number, 877-254-7524, 877-254-7524, and as always, if you'd like to get in touch with me, my website is, three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, theunsolicitedopinion.com. Listen, I'm always advertising for sponsors, and I'm always looking for advertisers, so listen, if you like the redistribution of the truth as much as I do, then please go to my website, contact me, and I can hook you up with the people at the station that can make that happen. Now, I wanted to make a little announcement. I received an email yesterday from someone who only identified themselves as the letter K, but the email address that you gave me, if you're listening, I can't reach you, so you need to contact me again and give me another email, because the email address you gave me is not working for me to be able to reply to you. So hopefully, if you're listening, K, please email me again. Anyway, I have a great guest lined up today, and of course I always have great guests lined up, don't I? I mean, my guests are really pretty sharp, because there's no point in having dull people on the show that serves no purpose whatsoever. The gentleman I'm bringing on this morning is Dinesh D'Souza, and he happens to be the president of King's College in New York City. He's a former White House domestic policy analyst and a research scholar at the American Enterprise Institute and the Hoover Institution at Stanford University. Some of his best-selling books include Illiberal Education, The End of Racism, and What's So Great About America. Dinesh D'Souza's website is DineshD'Souza.com. DineshD'Souza.com. I will have a link to his websites on my website. Actually, it's already up there under the podcast tab, as well as a podcast of today's show will be up on the website sometime this afternoon. Now, I'm bringing Dinesh on to this morning to speak about a book that he had written entitled The Roots of Obama's Rage. And it was a very interesting read for me, actually. You know, oftentimes when you've looked at some of the facial expressions of Barack Obama, at least I should say when I have looked at them, I've wondered where this anger that seems so evident to me in his eyes comes from, and really it can be described as a rage, at least in my opinion, and obviously from Dinesh D'Souza as well. So we're going to explore Dinesh's perception of where Obama's rage comes from. I want to welcome Dinesh D'Souza to my show. Hi, Dinesh. How are you today?
Hey, I'm fine, thanks. Good to be on the show.
Thank you. I'm so glad you could join me, and I know that your time is limited, so I want to try to get into the thick of things here. The first chapter of your book is titled A Tale of Three Dreams. Whose dreams are those in your estimation, Dinesh?
Well, the three dreams, you know, I'm looking at the question of what is Obama's dream. In other words, the question is what motivates Obama? What is the compass, if you will, that's sort of driving him? You know, oddly enough, the guy's been the president now for a couple of years, and there are all these theories about him. You know, he's a secret Muslim, he's a socialist, he's the new Martin Luther King, he's the Messiah. So on the left and the right, And so that's what I want to get at, is what's driving Obama. So I say, here are the three dreams. There's the American dream, there's Martin Luther King's dream, and then there is, you might say, Obama's dream. I try to show in the chapter that Obama's dream is not the American dream. Obama has been very frank in distancing himself from the dream of the founders. It's not Martin Luther King's dream, because in some ways, although Obama embodies the race-neutral idea, he never talks about it. He never defends it, even in his famous race speech in Philadelphia. So Obama's dream, I think, is made very clear if you pick up a copy of Obama's book from the title itself. The title is Dreams from My Father. And as I point out, it's not dreams of my father. Obama is not writing about his dad's dreams. It's dreams from my father, meaning here are the dreams that Obama got from his dad.
You know, it's an interesting thing to me, Dinesh, because if you look at psychologically where Obama's coming from and the fact that he really came from what would be deemed a broken home, his father had absolutely nothing to do with him. I believe he only met him one time when he was age 10, and his mother essentially abandoned him after, you know, when he was very young. So really, when you think about it, Obama is a classic example of I don't know if this is necessarily so accurate, classic, but he typifies in a lot of ways what happens when someone grows up in a household that doesn't have a nurturing foundation to give someone the psychological support that they need to not grow up with feeling rage about different things in life.
The rage of Obama is very different than the rage of his father. His father was a very angry guy, and his rage was very explicit. He would sit outside his hut in Kenya. He would be dead drunk. He would be foaming at the mouth, yelling and screaming, denouncing America and the West for denying him his anti-colonial ambitions. Obama's rage is sublimated. It's concealed, but it's there. You see it in the stiff jaw, the tight upper lip, and you see it in the way that he's very clear that he has certain groups of people that he absolutely hates. He hates the insurance companies, the oil companies. He hates British Petroleum. So when he's talking about the guys he hates, his voice quivers, it goes up a decibel. So it is actions and in his temperament, you see not an overt rage, but a sublimated rage.
The second chapter of your book is entitled Black Man's Burden, The Black Man's Burden. And in there you reference Aristotle, who referred to what would be called a great-souled man. What do you mean by that in its application to Barack?
Well, the thing about Obama is that he is...
Now, what, Dinesh? Actually, we are going to go to break. That's the cue right there. So let's pick up on the black man's burden when we come back after break, okay? Hang on, everybody. This is the Unsolicited Opinion.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found BioSuperfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural BioSuperfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network. If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies?
Farah's Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Farah's Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Farah's Survival.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie Rodden, and you're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. And if you'd like to call into the show this morning, the telephone number is 877-254-7524, 877-254-7524. My guest this morning is Dinesh D'Souza, and he has written a book entitled The Roots of Obama's Rage. And when we went to break, Dinesh, I had asked you about what Aristotle had called a great souled man and how that applied to Barack.
Well, the thing about Obama is that there's something about him that seems to sort of rise above the ordinary, and I think this is partly why he inspires among his supporters this kind of, you might almost say, avid, worshipful devotion. They see him as iconic, as being, you know, above the fray, and some of Obama's rhetoric about bringing people together and, right, you know, in a sense, transcending differences. Obama was able to capitalize on this idea of being someone, in a sense, larger than life. But I think in Obama's case, it is a camouflage. And what I mean by that is that the real Obama, I think, is, in fact, far from being great-souled and far from being multicultural, very monocultural, very narrow, very driven by a kind of passionate intensity that I respect, but one that I think has a very radically different view of America than mine, and I would argue not only mine, but I would say even most Democrats.
Well, you know, I think that Barack Obama, and I know that's down the road in these chapters, hopefully we'll get to discuss several of them, he really has been a great deceiver in my estimation, because he does put on, he's great at playing to whatever audience he's speaking to. He can play that off audience. He's a master at playing to whatever audience and saying what it is he needs to say to appeal to them, to appeal to the prurient interest, to get to their souls, so to speak, to be able to move them to feel like he is larger than life. And a lot of people, I believe, fell prey to that, because everyone, well, not everyone, but a lot of people like to have something to look up to, someone to look up to, and I think Barack Obama presented that face to people, and it did work very effectively for a time. I don't believe it's working so well anymore.
Well, the great ingenuity of Obama was to take an ideology that is in some senses very alien. Now, what I mean by this is, you know, as we know, for a couple of years, a lot of people say, you know, Obama wasn't born in America and so on. My point isn't that. It was not that he wasn't born in America. He was. But it's that his ideology, his ideas don't come from America. Where do they come from? They come from Kenya in the great anti-colonial struggles of the 1950s between Kenya and the British. Obama's grandfather, his father, were part of all that. Remember, Obama undertakes a massive intellectual journey to Africa. I mean, he physically goes to Africa for a month. And Obama's book, which is called Dreams from My Father, it's about 300 pages long. Now, his visit to Kenya, which took 1 month in his life, occupies 110 pages of that book. So you can see what a dramatic impact it had on him. In a sense, what he decides very consciously to do, it's a little bit like that T-shirt that says African in America. Again, Obama, there's nothing un-American about Obama as far as his background or birth, but what is, I would say, very different is his ideas, which are coming from a different continent. And the genius of Obama is to package them and sell them as extremely mainstream. So his father's Kenyan ideology becomes as American as apple pie.
In one of the speeches you referenced that Obama had given, he mentions when he's talking to the young kids, not about doing as well as he can do and being a successful capitalist, but he talks about a poverty of ambition. Explain what you believe Obama meant by that, what he means by that, please.
Well, Obama's very ambitious, and so he's not telling young people not to be ambitious. He's just saying that they are ambitious in the wrong way. Now, what does he mean by that? What he means by that is he says, you know, to young people, you know, don't aspire to success as conventionally understood. Don't start a business. Don't go Don't look for the corner office or the brass ring or the year-end bonus. What he's really saying is don't go into private enterprise. Don't be an entrepreneur. That's a low form of ambition. To Obama, that's greedy, that's selfish, that's profiteering. And Obama says you've got to go for a higher form of ambition. Now, here he's a little less clear. I think what he means is, you know, become a union boss or a community organizer. This is Obama's idea of what it means to be, you know, to harness the noblest impulses of American life. So I think for Obama, when he looks at the American economy, he sees this huge, sumptuous pie, and he thinks it's the height of morality to figure out how to carve it into a bunch of pieces. It never occurs to him, how do you get a pie? How do you make a pie grow? The issue of creating wealth is something just alien to Obama. His focus is essentially, you might say, how to share the wealth.
Well, the redistribution of wealth seems to be Obama's mainstay for what drives him. I know in that you referenced Barack Obama equates profit with neocolonial exploitation, and his goal is to take from the haves and teach the have-nots how to take from the haves.
Yeah, that was by the way, that was kind of the motto of the book Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky, which was kind of Obama's, you may say, political Bible. He actually taught the book in a whole bunch of sessions that he did with fellow community organizers. And where the anti-colonialism comes in is, remember, you know, there was a huge age of colonialism in which the European countries, Britain, France, occupied other countries like India, where I grew up, or Kenya, where Obama's father grew up. And so the anti-colonial idea is that the rich countries got rich by invading and occupying and looting the poor countries. So the idea here is that wealth comes through exploitation and ripping people off. Wealth isn't created, it's looted. And I think that's why when Obama looks at the rich in America today, or he looks at America's role in the world, he doesn't see an entrepreneurial country generating wealth. He sees looters who are on the world stage, ripping off the world's people, invading small Muslim countries like Iraq and Afghanistan. That's Obama's ideology, and I think he sees his personal mission as one of attacking, using the power of the government to go after these wealthy looters. And that explains the, you know, the kind of promiscuity with which Obama has been expanding the federal government. It is for him, if you will, the cop that is going to bring that is going to decolonize, if you will, the American system of wealth.
Well, you know, it's rather interesting to me, Dinesh, that Obama has such an affinity for his father and his heritage, so to speak, since his father played such a minimal role in his life. It's interesting to me that he has so connected himself with that, and what his father's dreams were became Barack Obama's dreams, even though Barack Obama really grew up in a what could be deemed certainly a middle-class lifestyle. He went to a private school in Hawaii. He certainly wasn't what would be the typical kid coming out of Harlem or an area that was a deprived area in this country. That wouldn't have been Barack Obama's experience at all.
Not exactly. And very few people who actually have the real experience of growing up in Harlem end up anti-colonialists. Anti-colonialism, in a way, is the philosophy of the third world, but it's also the philosophy of spoiled rich kids in America who become alienated from their own country. In Obama's case, this ideology came both from his father and from his mother. His mother was a kind of bohemian girl who was born in Kansas, but really grew up in Seattle, in Washington State, and then later Hawaii. She came to rebel against her country and her parents, and she looked for a kind of anti-American third world guy, to express this, alienation. So ironically, Obama got his ideology. It was his father's dream, but he got it through his mom. His mom was sort of, if you will, the worshipful devotee of the father. And interestingly, Obama then became obsessed with his dad. The funny thing was, had his dad been around, his dad was kind of a strange guy. He was an alcoholic, he was a womanizer, he was a polygamist. So had Obama had his real dad around, I don't think he would have gone this way, because he would have seen that his dad wasn't this mystical, larger-than-life kind of Gandhi of Kenya that Obama grew up thinking he was. So So paradoxically, the absence of the father made it easy for Obama to inflate the reputation of the father. The real guy would have actually undermined that image.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. One of the things about adult children of alcoholics is they're loyal, even in the face of that loyalty being undeserved. And I think that's probably no different than with Barack. I mean, he's loyal to an image that wasn't real at all. Just
to his credit, as he got a little older, he discovered from his sister, Auma, that his father was really not the person that he thought he was. And this creates a tremendous crisis in Obama's life. In fact, the central conflict of his book is an attempt to resolve that crisis by physically going to Kenya and a scene that culminates in Obama at his father's grave, where he weeps and he flings himself on the ground. And then he says, and I'm quoting him here, "Through Africa's red soil, I spoke to my father." You know, which is a little creepy because his father's been dead for 8 years. But here is Obama, like, trying to get his father back, get him out of the ground, so to speak. But he can't. And so he sort of makes a very interesting shift. He essentially says, I cannot have my father, so I'll take his dreams. In other words, I'm not going to be like my father, the person, but I am going to embrace his ideals, his aspirations, in this case, his anti-colonial ideology, and I'm going to carry it through. I'm going to be successful where he failed. And so I think this has been, if you will, the lifelong driving ambition of Obama. It's the ambition to be, you might almost say, retroactively earn his father's love by finishing the job his father could not finish.
You talk about in your chapter entitled The Outsider that Barack Obama, he was giving a speech and he said, "Don't tell me I don't have a claim on Selma, Alabama." And I think it speaks so much to Obama's trying to hustle, and I'm going to use that term hustle. You don't, I do. Hustle black people into thinking that Barack Obama is one of the bros in the neighborhood kind of a thing, when in reality he is nothing and has no relationship with that whatsoever.
This is a hilarious thing now, is that there are a lot of black leaders, including the scholar Cornel West and many others, who are very disenchanted with Obama. They sort of are grumbling that, you know, Obama doesn't talk about affirmative action or hate crimes or the inner city. He doesn't care about black issues. You know, he's not a race guy. But that's true. I don't think Obama is a race guy. I don't think he cares particularly about those issues. But since he has been sort of ordained, America's first African American president, it's very difficult for African Americans to be critical of Obama. They've in a sense been bludgeoned into silence. And Obama, of course, part of his political strategy was essentially to portray himself as the embodiment of not only the aspirations of being a black man, but a different kind of a black man. See, the secret to Obama's appeal isn't that he's black; it's that he's a black guy who's not like Jesse Jackson or not like Al Sharpton. That's almost that's probably the first thing I would have, you know, put on my resume if I was Obama. I'm not Jesse Jackson, because so many whites are so relieved to have a black leader who isn't like Jesse Jackson that they were just only too happy to vote for Obama, not paying too much attention to what Obama's real views were.
Well, you mentioned in your chapter 5, you're talking in chapter 4 about the triumph of lactification, and speak to that if you would a little, please. And also you talk about Barack Obama's racial costume, which in reality I think you touched on a little bit with what you were just saying, but talk about what you meant by the triumph of lactification.
Well, lactification is a term used by the anti-colonial scholar and activist Frantz Fanon, one of Obama's heroes. Obama references him in Dreams from My Father. And Fanon talks about the fact that in Africa, due to racism, there are black people who try to, quote, become white. They try to physically become white by lightening their skins, and they try to copy, if you will, the ways of the white man. Now, incidentally, Obama's hugely influenced by Fanon. In fact, he kind of plagiarizes an incident from Fanon about black people lightening their skin, and he pretends like it happened to him when he was a kid in Indonesia. He talks about leafing through copies of Life magazine, and, oh, he came across an article about blacks lightening their skin. Well, it turns out that there was no such article published either in Life magazine or any other magazine, Ebony or any other. So Obama listed the anecdote, and where did he get it from? Well, I found out he got it from Frantz Fanon's book, which is called Black Skin, White Masks. So Obama, in a sense, is constantly playing with the issue of race and trying to exploit it to his advantage. He's black when he needs to be. When he goes before white audiences, he tries to come across as somebody very different.
Dinesh, hold that thought because we've got to go to break. Hang on, Dinesh. Listen, everybody, we will be back in 3 minutes. Hang on. This is the Unsolicited Opinion.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
CINN stations in Alt salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine, point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Alt, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices. Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Hey everybody, this is Maggie Rodden and you're listening to the Unsolicited Opinion, and if you'd like to call into the show this morning, the number is 877-254-7524, and if you'd like to get in contact with me, my website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. I am speaking this morning with Dinesh D'Souza, who is the author of the book entitled The Roots of Obama's Rage. And Dinesh, I'm sorry I had to cut you off a little bit when we were rushing to break there. Please continue with your thought.
Well, I was just making the point that, you know, it's Obama himself who is the source of the notion that his ideas come from his father. And I think what's powerful about the book, it's called The Roots of Obama's Rage, is that once you put on these anti-colonial spectacles, so to speak, once you begin to see the world through that lens, pretty much everything that Obama is doing makes sense to you. You know, why is Obama right now in the Middle East? Why is he using force in Libya? Why was he active in getting rid of Mubarak in Egypt? Meanwhile, there's plenty of massacres of civilians going on in Syria. Obama's doing nothing. Iran, he's doing nothing. So So what is the, what explains why Obama is involved here but not there? Or why is Obama supporting oil drilling in Mexico and Brazil but blocking oil drilling in the United States? So all these mysteries about Obama and the other theories about Obama don't really work. They don't really explain. You know, think of the theory, Obama is a secret Muslim. Well, yeah, but everybody in the Middle East pretty much is Muslim. So that doesn't answer why he's involved here but not there. I think the anti-colonial theory has tremendous explanatory power, but it also has predictive power. Once you put on the spectacle, so to speak, you can anticipate what Obama is going to do next.
Well, you know, that is very interesting, those examples that you cited, because one of the examples that you cited in the book was the Iran, and I'm going to use the term uprising, but when the young people were in the streets, and Obama, I think I wrote it down here, what he had said specifically, they were kind of watching what was happening there. It's not in verbatim, but close to that, and that one young girl who was murdered, I can't recall her name, but she was symbolic of what was going on there, and what a better opportunity would there have been than that one for Obama to get involved and say, hey, I'm all for freedom and liberty, and yet he stood back and did nothing.
Right, and you have to ask why. So, you know, what to me is kind of amusing is you have all these conservative pundits, you know, I'm baffled by Obama, I'm puzzled by Obama, I don't understand Obama. And the problem is that there's a lack of a sense of what is driving Obama. Once you have a sense of what's driving someone, these double standards all go away. You see right away. So, for example, let's take the example of I mentioned a moment ago. Why would Obama support oil drilling in Brazil but not in America? Now, if Obama was a typical environmentalist like Al Gore, he would oppose oil drilling everywhere. Why? Because Al Gore thinks that, you know, as he puts it, the earth has a fever, you know, global warming, blah, blah, blah. So everybody should use less oil. Everybody should reduce their carbon footprint and so on. But that's not Obama's view. Obama's view is that those people should have more access to energy and fuel, and we should have less. Now, that's the anti-colonial view, that the rich countries of the world have been greedily using resources and oil out of proportion to their share in the world. Obama repeatedly says, we have 2% of the world's oil, but we use 25%. So what is Obama trying to do? He doesn't care whether the earth is getting hotter or colder. What he's trying to do is reduce the consumption of America and the West so that the, you may say, previously colonized countries in the world have access to more energy, more resources, etc.
Well, he told us that he was going to be transforming America, and change has come to America, and he's certainly making good on those words that he has uttered, that he is going to transform this country and redistribute our wealth out of this country. He's doing a good job of that. Let's talk about your chapter entitled "The Last Anti-Colonial," if you would,
well,
please.
Yeah, I probably need to go after this. So I'll make this, if I may, I can make this my last point until your break.
That's fine, because I know you need to go.
Yeah, you know, the thing about anti-colonialism is that what's so funny is here is Obama trapped, if you will, in the anti-colonial ideology of the 1950s. The same tired, you know, socialism that his father advocated, the same kind of tired redistribution that's been tried all over Africa and has left that continent virtually in ruins. This is Obama's ideology. Meanwhile, there are a lot of countries in the world that are coming up dramatically. These are poor countries, some of them formerly colonized countries, but they now have growth rates of 7, 8, 10, 12%. And I'm thinking here not just of China, not just of my native country of India. I'm thinking of Indonesia, where Obama spent 4 years. I'm thinking of Brazil, a number of other countries, these emerging markets. So how are they coming up? Ironically, they're coming up by embracing the opposite of Obama's ideology. They're embracing free market capitalism. They're embracing globalization, free trade, entrepreneurship, all the stuff that Obama pathologically hates. That is precisely the recipe the countries are using to climb out of poverty. And the countries that are following the Obama solution are actually in a terrible mess, like Zimbabwe.
Yes, they are. Well, I know you have to go. I want to thank you so much, Dinesh, for taking the time to speak with me this morning. I appreciate it. Dinesh D'Souza, The Roots of Obama's Rage, and your book can be found, I guess, on Amazon and all the other places that sell great books. It was an excellent read. Thank you so much, Dinesh, for your time this morning. I truly appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, everybody, Dinesh D'Souza, I'm sure many of you have heard of his book. I think he wrote it about a year or so ago. But I actually thought it was important to get kind of a different perspective on what it is that drives our illustrious leader. Now, I believe that what we see going on with Barack Obama, I personally believe, as you know, for those of you who have listened to my show for any length of time, that Barack Obama is the perfect candidate. He's the perfect president to continue with the globalist agenda of redistribution of wealth, of implementing United Nations Agenda 21. He's perfect for it because his mindset fits right in with the plan of redistribution of wealth, this necessary destruction and takedown of the United States economically that stands in the way, our country and our property rights stand in the way of this agenda being perpetrated and implemented throughout the world. But I thought that Dinesh's book, and I had actually seen him on a program talking about this, and I thought it was a very interesting perspective, and I kind of agree with him in a lot of ways, though I disagree in some other ways. I do think that race plays a big factor in what drives Obama. And it's interesting, I read something somewhere that said that somebody had said, I don't dislike Barack Obama because he's a black man, I dislike him because he's a liberal white man. So that it was kind of interesting and comical, I thought, when I had read that. I thought it was kind of funny. But I do believe there's a lot to what Dinesh D'Souza had written about where the roots of Obama's rage come from, because I truly believe that he is a man filled with rage that truly is, to me, the word that describes the, it's just simmering under the surface, and occasionally you get a glimmer of it when you look at this man's what's in his eyes, because anger, our eyes are the windows to the soul, I guess, is that what they say? You know, so I think there's a lot to be said for that. You know, often our emotions are written all over faces. You know, they say you wear your heart on your sleeve, some people do, so I don't think that there's I think what Mr. D'Souza has written does make a lot of sense in trying to analyze what it is that drives our president. So, but I think it fits into the larger scheme, which we didn't touch on, with Dinesh of UN Agenda 21, Sustainable Development. He's the perfect person to help push that forward. We are going to go to break, and we will be back in 2 minutes and 10.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found BioSuperfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural BioSuperfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
CINN stations in Alt salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine, point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Alt, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices.
everybody. This is Maggie Rodden, and you're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. And if you'd like to get in contact with me, you can call into the show, 877-254-7524, 877-254-7524. And if you'd like to email me, get in contact with me, sponsor my radio show, advertise on my radio show, my website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, theunsolicitedopinion.com. And I also want to mention again, which I had mentioned in the beginning of the show, that I had someone contact me yesterday with the initial K who actually wanted to needed some information to send me something, but they gave me the wrong email address, so I can't reach you, K, to give you what you need unless you send me another email address. So if you're listening, please email me again, because the email address you gave me, it's bouncing back. It's not working. So I actually last night had to go and speak to a group of people. I was actually talking to them about United Nations Agenda 21, and it's interesting to me. You know, everybody comes to whatever they come to, no matter what it is. You know, you have a group of people together, and everybody is coming to that meeting from a different perspective, a different knowledge base, a different understanding of things, and you know, just like, actually, just like Dinesh D'Souza had mentioned in his book, you know, the people's, a lot of people's perception of what drives Barack Obama, you know, thinking that, oh, he's one of the bros in, you know, the black community, which he isn't at all. Really, what drives him is something that's totally unrelated, to Barack Obama. What drives him are the dreams of another man who's long, his father, who had little contact with him and has long since died. So it's, you know, it's kind of interesting what, where people come from and what drives them and what prompts them to actually spurs them to action, to take action. But I talked to this group of people last night about UN Agenda 21, and you know, there were a lot of people that you know, kind of the light bulbs, I believe, went on, because, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on, and we just don't have the framework to connect the dots. These are isolated things, so we think they're isolated, and so in and of themselves, they really don't draw much attention to us, you know, to any one thing. But, you know, when somebody puts the pieces together for you, it makes it so much easier to see the larger picture of what's happening in this country and, well, it's going on all around the world, actually. There's someone that I talk to on Sundays, actually. I do the radio show on Sundays at noon, which you, of course, are aware of. And one of the people that's on the radio show that follows mine actually is from Australia. And he often talks about a lot of the different things happening in Australia, which, of course, they're happening here as well. They may be farther along in some respects down in Australia with the implementation of UN Agenda 21, but they are still on the march. The little green shirts are on the march down there, and they certainly are on the march here as well. I think one of the things that works to our advantage to have the prospect of implementation of all these different Agenda 21 tenets is the fact that our economy's tanking. Of course, there's an intentional thing with our economy tanking, but that works to our advantage. It's a double-edged sword, I agree, but it does work to our advantage at being able to marshal forces, so to speak, and having time to wake other people up, because they're going to stop and step back, and they're going to start to look at things that they may have not looked at before because their bellies were full. Well, now that they're feeling hunger pains, they're going to start to wonder, well, why am I feeling hunger pains? And that will prompt them to look around, and they may discover UN Agenda 21, sustainable development. And that's certainly my hope. That's the reason why I do this show. Actually, most of the people that I bring on, which you who have listened to my show know, are talking about issues related to sustainable development, UN Agenda 21. But I thought it was interesting to have Dinesh D'Souza come on and talk about Obama's rage, because it is an interesting perspective, and it is, and you kind of need to know what drives individuals so that you can. The way to outsmart someone, as Sun Tzu, the famous Chinese warrior, said, you need to know your enemy. You need to, you know, understand what they eat. You need to understand how they think. You need to understand where they sleep and what motivates them and what drives them. So I think it's critical that we, you know, you got to look at a lot of different things. You got to really be like Sun Tzu. You got to know your enemy to be able to outsmart him and outthink him and beat him. You can't do it any other way. You can't just guess at what they're going to do next. Like Dinesh D'Souza said, you know, looking at Obama's anti-colonial roots and his ideology is a great predictor of what moves he'll make next. Of course, we know what moves will be made next because we know what UN Agenda 21 is all about. And Barack Obama is the perfect person to be implementing that strategy. And the fact that he has these anti-colonial ideologies, these tenets that he strives, what drives him, well, they just fit perfectly into this whole scheme, this whole plan of UN Agenda 21. I think. Anyway, listen, if you want to call into the show this morning, 877-254-7524, 877-254-7524 is the number. If you want to get in contact with me, theunsolicitedopinion.com is the place to do it. Listen, I've got a lot of great information on my website for those of you who've taken a gander at it. I know you know that. And for those of you who haven't yet, then please do so. You know, really, if you're not up to speed on UN Agenda 21, if you're not in the fighting against it, you need to be. And here's an interesting thing. Yesterday, someone had sent me a link to The Blaze, which is Glenn Beck's, online newspaper, I guess you could call it. And they had an article there about United Nations Agenda 21, and they had two videos on there, one of Rosa Corey, who's been on my show a couple of times, her giving a speech out in, San Francisco, and the other one was John Bush, who I just had on my show last week, who was on talking about fusion centers, because he's been down in Austin fighting against UN Agenda 21 as well. So it was kind of interesting, and I'm glad that that actually appeared there, because I know someone I know had actually run into Glenn Beck's sister-in-law several weeks ago, and they had wanted him to come on his show, and he didn't want to do that, but he wanted to make sure that she would get the message to Glenn Beck about UN Agenda 21, and so he gave her an earful and told her this is what Glenn Beck needs to be focusing on. So I'm glad that that actually appeared on his little online newspaper yesterday, because it's critical that all of those people who, many of the Tea Party people, are actually avid fans of Glenn Beck, so if they read that, that will just get the ball moving even forward faster, because that will then maybe get people to say, wait a second here. And so I'm hoping so, because that's truly the purpose of my doing this show, really, is to get information out there. Because listen, everybody, we're in a battle here. We really are in a battle. This is a battle we're in. We are in a war, and we got to win this war. So we need generals. We need lieutenants. We need soldiers. And we need redistributors of the truth. Listen, we're going to break. I'll be right back in about 2 minutes. Hang in there, everybody.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Hey everybody, this is Maggie Rodden, and you're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. And listen, if you want to get in contact with me, theunsolicitedopinion.com is the way to do that. There's a contact button there. You can email me. I need sponsors. I need advertisers. You can even donate to the cause of free speech because airtime costs money. So please get in contact with me. I would truly appreciate it. And I want to mention, I mentioned this yesterday, I will be starting on Monday from what will be 9 a.m. Mountain Time to 11 a.m. Mountain Time on Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, and that website is republicbroadcasting.org, and there will be links on my website for information how to get there. I will be starting on there 2 hours on the air every day, Monday through Friday, and I will still be on KHNC 1360, same days that I'm on, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 9 a.m. Mountain Time. You'll be able to hear me, though, 5 days a week, 2 hours a day. Can you stand it? Hey, what do you think, huh? The redistribution of the truth for 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. I think that's a good thing. I'll be able to bring a lot more people on who can give more information, so won't it be good? I think it'll be good. It should prove to be very interesting, and I'm real excited about it. And so you'll still be able to hear me in Colorado, but if you want to go to republicbroadcasting.org, to their website, you'll be able to pick up the stream for their network as well. And I don't know what stations, you know, all kinds of different stations pick up shows off of their network, so who knows where else these messages that I'm delivering and the people that I bring on my show are delivering, who knows who else will be able to reach. I'm very excited. I'm hoping that there will be other stations that want to pick up this show, and that'll just move our message faster, and I just want to get it out there at lightning speed, truly I do, so that we can be victorious. I want us to be the victors in this war. I don't want the globalists to be the victors. I want the freedom-loving, freedom-fighters, the American citizens. I want humanity to be the victor against these globalists, because that's truly what it is. It is a fight for humanity. It is a fight for freedom and liberty, and freedom and liberty offers opportunity. We know that. Freedom, there's nothing that beats freedom. You need to be free. Everything good comes out of freedom. Truly, it does. Nothing good happens unless you're a free man to be able to make that happen. And so we know these globalists want to enslave us. So the more people who can hear this message, I'm excited. So, hey, listen, please listen in. Monday through Friday, I'll be on at 9 a.m. Mountain Time, 10 o'clock Central Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time. I always leave out the people on the Pacific, and I don't want them to be feeling isolated like I don't like the people on the West Coast, because I like them, too. I like everybody. Well, no, not everybody. That would be a lie. I don't like everybody. There's a lot of people that I'm not real happy with. But anyway, 8 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Mountain, 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, starting next Monday, which I believe is the 20th. It is the 20th. I will be on Republic Broadcasting Network, and I'll still be on American Freedom Network, KHNC 1360, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I'll be here. And, hey, my website, three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. Please go there, get in contact with me, send me your great info. And, oh, I got an email from a lady who was listening to me yesterday who sent me information on how to murder the ants, and I'm excited about that. I'm going to use that formula she told me about, which is great. And the little device she talked about, she created this little kind of trap for him in the bottom of a little cup with a little ramp with some dead bodies laid on it to get the ants to go to their demise. It was wonderful. I chuckled a lot when I read her email, so I appreciate it, the information on how to murder the ants, because I'll be massacring ants sometime today. And so that was good. I love to get emails from people. Hey, listen, everybody. I will be back tomorrow. Keep your chin up. Better days are coming. Hey, you know what? I think we're going to be winners. I really do. I think we're going to be victorious. But listen, chin up. Better days are coming. Hey, the sun will come up tomorrow, and I'll be back at 9 a.m. Mountain Time.
Really? You know what Miss Gus said she was going to do to Toto? She says she
now,
was going to...
Now, Dorothy, dear, stop imagining things. You always get yourself into a fret over nothing. Now, you just help us out today and find yourself a place where you won't get into any trouble.
Some place where there isn't any trouble. Do you suppose there is such a place, Toto? There must be. It's not a place you can get to by a boat or a train. It's far, far away. Behind the moon, beyond the rain. Chimney tops, that's where